Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, Velveteen Dream has been released by WWE.
I'm going to tell you the real reason Money in the Bank has moved in WWE's calendar.
Are Fox pushing for WWE to return to attended events?
And has SummerSlam's location and date been revealed? I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right, so let's kick things off by talking about Velveteen Dream, who we spoke about recently, of course, being backstage at the Raw tapings. He has now been released by WWE. This news broke last night. PW Insider's Mike Johnson came through. No word on why he was released from WWE. Of course, there were cuts earlier in the week. 8 people let go associated with NXT due to budget cuts. No word on whether or not that can be attributed to Dream as well, but he's gone from the company, and Fightful Select have come through with a report just offering some extra context on the matter. So, as we all know, Dream hadn't been on WWE television since wrestling Adam Cole on, I think it was December 28th. So December is the key point here. Wrestling Adam Cole on NXT. No sign of him at any shows, you know, on camera and behind the scenes as well. Fightful notes that he hadn't necessarily been at a lot of NXT tapings recently. He had, however, been at some open ring sessions inside WWE. And this had led to concern, is the word that was used in the report here, that he was being kind of built up for some kind of coaching position within the company. It's noted that Canyon Seaman, who handles these kinds of things, talent development director, he sent out the email informing people at about 4:45 p.m. that Dream had been cut and now he's gone. He has a 30-day non-compete clause with WWE, meaning that theoretically he is free to sign wherever he wants from the 19th of June. So Dream is a very complex case. We've spoken about the guy recently. His 2020 kind of says it all. Multiple allegations of sexual harassment involving minors. Loads of things emerged during that, right? Screenshots of transcriptions of various DM exchanges, voice clips. There was a photograph, phone number, all kinds of things coming out during that. They started in April. They came back around in June as part of the speaking out movement. Disappeared from television for a while. This was attributed to an automobile accident by WWE. That was what was circulated after that. He came back to TV on a more sporadic schedule. We get to December and he's not on TV at all. So it's a really, really deep well with this guy. Once considered one of the most promising prospects, I think it's fair to say, in all of wrestling. I mean, yeah. Like, if you think back to, like, 2018, 2019, he was a charisma bomb. He was so young and promising and everything else. But look, they'd gotten to the point, and WWE investigated the matter internally, and Triple H's official word was, we didn't find anything. Although the victims, the accusers, stated, well, at least one of them, that I wasn't contacted as part of this process. So, you know, all kinds of things going on. I think at the end of the day, with Dream, right, you're in a situation where there was no way ever, I don't think, you know, time doesn't heal everything. And I think there was a situation where there was no chance that the public perception of the guy is ever going to turn around, given the severity of the allegations and the volume of evidence and everything else. He's done, I think, is the core thing here. Now, there's no, you know, word that his release is related to all of this. There's no official word on what the reason for the release was. But I think a lot of us saw this coming for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say this is less surprising than the releases earlier on this week. As you alluded to there, Andy, he was incredibly talented in the ring and a real, real prospect for WWE. But you just look at the response to this announcement on social media. Its position within WWE, within wrestling, is and was untenable, in my opinion. And,
definitely.
I don't really want to talk any more about it, A, because it's very difficult to wrap your head around the whole situation, and B, because, look, it is what it is now. It's happened, and it's for the best, in my opinion, and I don't want to get us into any trouble speculating any further. So
yeah,
we'll move on to talk about Money in the Bank. Of course, normally it goes down in June. It has switched. Well, not switched. It has moved to a month later. Hell in a Cell going down in June, on 20th June, in fact. And the latest report from Sports Illustrated's Justin Barrasso confirms what a lot of people actually, I think, assumed, and that is the fact that they've moved Money in the Bank because they want to be able to put it on in front of live crowds. Money in the Bank booked for the 18th of July, when everyone's been talking about, of course, there's that weekend where WWE hoping to have fans in attendance. And as we guessed when they said it was going to be Hell in a Cell, Hell in a Cell does not lend itself well to crowds. Can't see bloody anything, and certainly not the first show back, even though obviously it's normally later on in the year. So presumably they've just switched it, moved to a few shows later. Extreme Rules will be later on in this year, you have to assume. And they're going to think, well, put Hell in a Cell on as the last pay-per-view in the Thunderdome. Money in the Bank, first live show with fans. It's one of my favourite pay-per-views of the year, Andy. I think this is a completely correct decision from WWE, to be fair.
100%. Totally agree. Money in the Bank, big exciting ladder matches. You've got the intrigue, who's going to come away with the briefcase. It's one of the events for which I think a live audience is absolutely critical. We had a little bit of fun last year, didn't we, with the WWE headquarters and the throwing him off the roof and everything else and all the wacky stuff that happened in that match. Yeah, Brother Love in the bathroom. Interesting. But yeah, let's get Money in the Bank back to what Money in the Bank is supposed to be. And yeah, like I said before, I'm in favour of them switching things up calendar-wise instead of just doing everything the same all the time. Bit of traditionalism's good. Keep SummerSlam in August. Keep WrestleMania end of March, beginning of April. Yeah. That's good stuff. Royal Rumble, January. But these B-level pay-per-views, do what the hell you want with them. Flip them around a little bit. I'm into it.
Absolutely. Early picks for Money in the Bank for you?
Gangrel, probably. Both of them. I'm too.
Give it to Sami Zayn and possibly Sonya Deville as well. I haven't really decided which of the women I want to win it, but Sami Zayn or Big E.
Oh, very nice. I like Sami Zayn. That's a good pick. Speaking of live crowds reacting, this might be something that Fox are actively pushing for. So we've got a report here from WrestleVotes. I don't know why I've said it like that. Reporting that over the past few weeks, Fox have basically been privately pushing WWE to kind of try and bring live crowds back, nudge them in that direction. Of course, this is an organization that has invested $1 billion in WWE over 5 years, so it's understandable that they would, you know, want to be able to present the best possible live product possible on their channel with SmackDown, because they've got all kinds of other sports going on as well. And when you kind of go and watch a WWE show and it's this video screen, I'm not dissing the Thunderdome. Thunderdome's been good, but there's a bit of a difference there. So it's understandable, ties in with everything else we've heard about, you know, the middle of July possibly being when they'll bring fans back. And man, like, I think the Thunderdome has been a huge net positive for WWE, mm-hmm. so much better than the Performance Center. But let me tell you, I am so ready for just normal crowds again, man. I cannot express that enough.
So what you're telling me here, Andy, is Fox is kind of disregarding advice surrounding the ongoing global blast and encouraging WWE to bring fans back sooner than medically it's been suggested. I wouldn't have expected that from Fox in opposite land. Yes, look, I agree with you, Andy. I want fans back yesterday, but I also temper that with the fact that it has to be done the right way. Like, we're so close. I say this every single week, but we are so close to the end of all this and it all going back properly to normal. I just really don't want to fumble the ball on the 1 yard line. So as much as
totally
many people
agree.
May roll their eyes and say, oh, it's, you know, it's heading the right way, et cetera, et cetera. Look, let's just play it safe and then you can have the 4th of July properly rather than like social distancing and elbow bumps and all that bollocks. Let's just, please stay safe, wear a mask, observe all the social distancing rules for the time being, because, you know, a couple more weeks, a month or two here, and then it will all be back to normal. But Yeah, I cannot wait to see fans back, even for bloody Stephanie McMahon's entrance, I've got to be honest. Right, let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam, which better bloody have fans this year. And it's looked like it's going to emanate from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I will... No, I won't be there. I'd love to be there, but I sincerely doubt we will be. As per Sports Illustrated, SummerSlam internally confirmed within WWE in the state of Nevada, with PW Insider off the back of that confirming that pretty much that's going to mean it's going to be Las Vegas as the host city. Now, WWE's usual go-to spots are the T-Mobile Arena and the MGM Grand Garden Arena, of course. But they could put it in a stadium outside, outdoor venue for SummerSlam. Yes, please. That opens up the possibility of the Allegiant Stadium. 22nd of August is the date you need for your diary. Oh, I'm hoping for big things at SummerSlam, Andy.
Yeah, one of the tentpole WWE events of the year. It'll be the first, fingers crossed, the first big WWE event with a fully attended audience. Obviously, you know, Money in the Bank is a big show, but it's not SummerSlam. It's not quite have that same level of intrigue for me personally. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Just echo your safety concerns from the previous news story we just covered, as we always do. But it's going to be so good to have a raging audience back.
I am pitching a tent in my trousers for this tentpole event. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE? There's a nice mental image for you on a Friday morning. At What Culture WWE? First question today comes from Matt Ryan, aka Aussie Dead,
Legend,
who says that which incarnation of any character you feel doesn't patch perhaps get as much love that you really enjoyed?
Evil Doink. Doink. Like, that might come as a surprise to viewers of this channel, you know my preferences in wrestling and everything, but Doink, I think for people who didn't necessarily live through it, is like, kind of remembered only, and it's weird to me that he's only kind of remembered as this wacky babyface clown. He's, oh, look at him, he's so crazy. Nah, Evil Doink was terrifying, man. Yeah. It was kind of like the original version of this kind of cartoony evil dude who's actually scary. And some of the stuff that Matt Bourne would get up to was crazy. Check out Evil Doink if you've never looked into the character. It's great, and we should recognize that more often.
I'm sort of cheating with mine, because he did get a lot of love, just not from the company he was bloody working for. Bad News Barrett, man. He should have had a major title reign. And it's like, he created this amazing gimmick. He had the thing, he had the hammer, I've got some bad news. Got it all over, and WWE were like, oh, I don't like the fact that you've got that over. And so they just binned it off. And they were, I'm not sure if that was before or after the bare knuckle gimmick, bollocks. Yeah, should have done so much more with him. Should have done so much more with my best friend Stu Bennett, aka Wade Barrett, on the whole. But if I'm not allowed to have him, three words, Pirate Paul Burchill. Second question today comes from Sean Ackland, who says, you hate to see anybody vacate a belt, but sadly, the show must go on. Would you rather see a former IWGP heavyweight champion take the world championship, or is there a worthy first-time champion to give the belt to?
Yeah, the Will Ospreay situation is really horrendous. Hoping that the neck injury hopefully isn't, you know, too severe, because those things are scary. IWGP title, usually in situations like this, and I've said this so many times before, I'm not usually in favor, right, of giving someone the, hey, you've been here 20 years, have the belt, you deserve this for your hard work. I think the title should be prestigious, and the person who holds it should be like whoever's hot and a major draw and everything else, not necessarily who's worked hard for a long, long period of time. But this is not a normal time, particularly in Japan. They've had to shut down shows for a while. They're going to start back up and everything else. But the vaccine rollout in Japan hasn't been as effective as elsewhere. And there's all kinds of other stuff going on. It's not a normal era of New Japan. Let's give someone the gold watch. Let's give that belt to Big Tom Ishii, man.
Yes!
I'm biased. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. And he doesn't need to hold it for long. But I would probably shed tears of joy if we went down that route, at least for like a month. Come on, Matt. Gedo. Do the thing, please.
Yeah, come on. Give it to bloody Evil at the end of the day. Give it to
exactly.
him.
Exactly. You're going to give it to Evil? Tom's right there.
I'd love it. Yeah, I'd love Ishii. I think we had Ishii for WCPW. I think
we did.
I think he was the one I was security for. What was the point of that, lads? Don't worry, Mr. Ishii. I've got this.
I'll cover your back.
Yeah. It's not him. It should be him. But if not him, give it to friend of the channel, Tommy Tango, of course. Final question today comes from...
Tango Lewis, brother. Okay.
It says, with AEW expanding to TBS, should we expect a TBS championship or change the title to a Turner championship? Load of people asking us this over the last few days, Andy.
Yeah, so the story actually broke yesterday via Dave Meltzer of Wrestling Observer Radio. No, it's still going to be the TNT title when they move networks. A logical thing would be to think, oh, this is named after the station, their moving station, TBS. Thing is, for me personally, like, I don't really mind either way what they do with it. But TNT title, even if maybe it doesn't make as much sense if Dynamite's not on TNT every week, it just sounds better than TBS title, doesn't it? So yeah, for me, maybe they should have called it the television title in the first place, who knows? But no, I like this. And keeping it TNT as well, they're still going to have the supercards on TNT.
Yeah.
And on top of this, it does also honour the legacy of pro wrestling on TNT, although TBS obviously has a strong legacy as well, 605. But yes, that's... No.
Even idiots can see the connection between Dynamite and TNT.
Exactly.
So, yeah, leave it as it is. You don't have to change everything. Otherwise, yeah, it'd be preposterous. I like the way it looks and I like the way it sounds, like you say, Andy, so you might as well just stick with what we've got. Let's move on to today's and finally. I just want to share this great image that Natalya shared overnight. Often imitated, never duplicated. It's a wonderful homage to the Hart Foundation.
Nice.
But just a nice heartwarming thing for a Friday, this, Andy.
Just a lovely group of people, isn't it? Lovely group of people indeed. Particularly fond of Brian Pillman Jr. at the moment. You got to watch his Dark Side of the Ring if you haven't seen it already. I don't know how you can watch that and not root for the guy. So, yeah, it's lovely stuff on a Friday, isn't it? Very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Slightly wooden stance from Bret Hart, but nevertheless, a lovely photo. And also, how big is Tyson Kidd's arm? Jesus
hey,
Christ,
listen,
mate. I know
listen.
You're carrying this company by booking all the good matches, but my word, fair play, mate.
What are you going to do if you can't wrestle, man? Get swole. Hell yeah. Good
he
for Tyson Kidd. He's looking great. He's looking great.
Natalya is one lucky lady. My word. Right, let's tell your thoughts on that and all today's news stories. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. For daily wrestling podcast, got the SmackDown preview and of course Wrestle Culture with a bloody good quiz later on today. Plus, let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at.
You can follow me at Andy H Murray. The H today stands for horse.
Oh yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.